Ordinary Vegan is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, and vegans. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ordinaryvegan or mention the promo code ordinaryvegan when you talk to a Health IQ agent.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to podcast number 33. And it's all about fish, overfishing, ocean crime, and why fish is not a health food. We have a lot to discuss, and I think you're going to be shocked to hear some of the information today. I know I was. But before we get to that, if we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a healthy plant-based diet for health and wellness, for the environment, and for animal welfare. A healthy plant-based diet consists of grains, legumes like lentils and beans, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. It excludes all meat, dairy, and eggs. This podcast is dedicated to helping people live a long and healthy life. And before I start, I wanted to thank so many of you who take time out of your busy day and reach out to me with your kind and compassionate words. You keep me going, and you make me want to do the very best job I can do. So thanks so much, and thanks for letting me serve you. Now, let's talk about fish. According to the National Marine Fisheries Service report, the United States fishermen landed 9.6 billion pounds of seafood valued at $3.3 billion. The highest value commercial species were lobster, crabs, scallops, shrimp, salmon, and pollock. Not only that, the United States imported 5.8 billion pounds of seafood worth over $19.5 billion this year. So the business of fishing is a big, big business. And as we all know, when that much money is at stake, people can become very greedy. And our ocean has become one gigantic, heavily exploited fishing ground. But let's break it down and begin with the subject of overfishing. Overfishing is a non-sustainable use of the ocean, and less than 5% of our oceans are protected. A healthy ocean needs safe havens for fish, for whales, dolphins, corals, and other treasures of the sea. There are many fish populations that are in danger because they've been fished to the maximum point or very close to because of all the greed. And we have already removed at least 2/3 of the large fish in the ocean, and 1 in 3 fish populations have collapsed since 1950. Overfishing threatens food security for hundreds of millions of people and destroys ocean ecosystems worldwide. And think about this. These fishing boats can be as large as a cruise ship and have the ability to fish 4 times more fish than there are. There are many methods global fishing uses to catch our fish. The first one I want to mention is called bottom trawling. Bottom trawling is particularly damaging to the environment because what they do is use giant nets along the seafloor. And along the way, they are picking up or crushing whatever is in their path, like coral, sponge habitats, and sea creatures that are typically thrown back into the water dead or dying. Shrimp trawling creates one of the highest rates of bycatch, averaging at least 4 pounds of unwanted species to every pound of shrimp. Then there is another method called long line fishing. It uses a long line called the main line with hundreds, even thousands of baited hooks in a single line to target swordfish, tuna, halibut, sablefish, and many other species. The trouble with long line fishing is that it also catches many endangered sharks, turtles, marine mammals like dolphins, seals, walruses, sea lions, and it also kills seabirds because birds dive down for the bait planted on the long fishing lines and they're pulled underwater and they drown. And then there are fish aggregating devices that are used in over 70% of world's tuna fisheries. Fish aggregating devices are floating objects that are designed and strategically placed to attract pelagic fish like tuna. It also attracts white sharks and great white sharks and sunfish. Not only do they catch thousands of tuna, they also kill thousands of turtles and sharks each year. They also endanger other overfished species like yellowfin and bluefin. And they are pulling the tuna out of the water so often and so quickly that these young fish never have a chance to reproduce. When one kind of fish is no longer plentiful, fishermen move on to new species lower in the food web, like crabs, sardines, and squid. Since these lower-level species are often important prey for other fish, as well as marine animals and seabirds, their removal impacts species throughout the ecosystem. For example, and I can relate to this because I am a Boston girl, the New England codfish business has collapsed, meaning the population is at 10% or less of its historic levels, and recovery of New England cod may be impossible, all because of the introduction and proliferation of equipment and technology that increased the amount of fish caught. Remember those fishing boats as big as cruise ships I mentioned earlier. Now, I am sad to say, there is even more bad news because of something called ocean crime. When I sat down to watch an NBC documentary called Oceans of Crime, I had no idea what I was in for, and it was very disturbing. After I watched it, I spent many hours later fact-checking the film and found out it was sadly true. Here are the facts. The National Marine Fisheries Service, which is a United States federal agency responsible for the stewardship of national marine resources, estimates that the United States imports more than 80% of the seafood we eat. Some of it is caught by American fishermen, exported overseas for processing, and then re-imported to the United States. And an additional 5.8 billion pounds of fish that we eat comes from Asia. So, for example, Alaskan salmon may have made a round trip to China before it landed on your plate. Because of the small cost of Chinese labor, it is more cost-effective for seafood companies to freeze salmon they catch in Alaska, send it to China, they defrost it, bone it, and then they send it back to the U.S. Crazy, right? Even a portion of our scallops we import from China originally came from Martha's Vineyard. Most of the salmon Americans now eat is farmed and imported from Chile. And the Chilean farmed salmon industry uses over 300,000 kilograms of antibiotics a year, causing bacterial resistances that affect fish, the environment, and human beings. And then there's the fish caught in Asian waters that we eat, like crab and shrimp. And as much as 30% of the wild fish we eat comes to us illegally from Asia. And what that documentary, Oceans of Crime, shows us is how our seafood supply moves from the waters off of Southeast Asia to American shores. And it is startling. Many of the fishing vessels supplying our fish from Asia are modern-day slave ships. The majority of their workers on these boats are Thai or Indonesian men who have been lured onto these fishing vessels by fishing captains with promises of a well-paid job. And then these workers are trapped on these vessels and never receive salaries. Some are even drugged and kidnapped when they refuse to join a fishing crew. They are overworked, physically abused, and even locked up. If they refuse to work or get sick, they are killed and thrown overboard. Asia is the hub for the silent crime of modern-day slavery, and although Thailand and Indonesia have taken some action, forced labor is still rampant in the Asian fishing business, and it continues almost 3 years after the European Union threatened to ban fish from Thailand. The only way we can stop it is to not support it. Now, let's talk about eating fish. Fish has always been touted as a health food, but fish is very high in cholesterol, and cholesterol is the main risk for coronary heart disease. As we have talked in earlier podcasts, if your cholesterol level is too high, cholesterol can build up in the walls of your arteries. And over time, this buildup called plaque causes hardening of the arteries or atherosclerosis, which not only leads to heart disease, this plaque buildup can contribute to Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, and other neurological disorders. The next thing is that most of the fat in fish is not heart-healthy fat. While fish does contain omega-3 fats, most of the fat in fish is not heart healthy. Between 15 and 30% of the fat is saturated fat. Eating too much saturated fat can elevate your bad blood cholesterol, and diets high in saturated fat increase your risk for developing heart disease, which is the leading cause of death in the United States. Now, let's talk about fish oil. But before we talk about fish oil and fish oil replacements, I would like to thank my sponsor, Health IQ. Sponsors make it much easier for me to be able to produce my podcast. And so many people reach out to me about sponsoring, but many of those people want me to advertise products that don't fit our healthy lifestyle here on Ordinary Vegan. So when Health IQ reached out to me, I did some research and thought this could be a good fit for people with a healthy lifestyle looking for life insurance. Here is what they do. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, and vegans. They are trusted by some of America's top athletic organizations, including the nonprofit Roadrunners Club of America, USA Triathlon, US Masters Swimming, and USA Weightlifting. and they have spent years gathering the science and data to prove that health-conscious deserve lower rates. It is like saving money by being a good driver. Health IQ gets you lower rates on your life insurance based on your lifestyle. Their mission is to improve the health of the world by celebrating the health conscious. Health IQ is another reason to keep eating your fruits, grains, lentils, and vegetables. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/ordinaryvegan or mention the promo code ordinaryvegan when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Now, let's talk about fish oil. If you've been supplementing with fish oil to increase your intake of omega-3 fatty acids, you may have been misled. Studies now show that most of the health claims associated with fish oil may be unfounded. A comprehensive Journal of the American Medical Association analysis involving 20 studies in more than 68,000 patients showed no link between fish oil and heart health. Another study published in the New England Journal of Medicine reported that patients who supplemented with fish oil did not reduce their risk of heart disease. I will put links to those studies in this week's show notes. I recommend getting your omega-3 fatty acids from seeds. Hemp seeds, ground flax seeds are the best, followed by chia seeds. I recommend 2 tablespoons a day. You can incorporate them in soups, oatmeal, salads, and stir fries. So you don't need fish oil. All you need is seeds. The last thing I want to point out about fish is that sadly, many studies are finding toxic pollutants in fish across the world. Fish can easily absorb chemicals like PCBs from coolants, DDT from pesticides, and highly toxic dioxins from the water and their food. Bottom-dwelling fish are especially likely to have high levels of toxins because these substances run off the land and settle to the bottom of the ocean. Examples of bottom-dwelling fish are shellfish, crabs, halibut, flounder, sole, eels, cod, haddock, bass grouper, snapper, and some species of catfish and shark. This chemical contamination can be especially harmful for people who consume a lot of fish, for the elderly, for pregnant women, or nursing mothers and children. Potentially harmful pesticides, heavy metals, and hydrocarbons are often released into the ocean. Pesticides like weed and bug killers are toxic to fish in low concentration, resulting in fish mortality and a decline in fish populations. Prescription drugs pass into our rivers and bays wherever treated wastewater is discharged. A University of Colorado study shows that fish found in waterways laced with traces of endocrine disrupting chemicals, meaning hormone chemicals, exhibit gender bending, a state in which a male fish looks and acts like female fish, and some even possess both male and female organs. Ocean mammals and fish are also susceptible to pollution-related diseases like gill disease, liver damage, and ulcers from tainted waters. Now, let's talk about mercury. In 2014, the Environmental Working Group issued a report that people who follow the federal government's guidelines on seafood consumption are likely to consume mercury, a dangerous neurotoxin. At the same time, federal officials warned pregnant women and children to limit or avoid 5 high mercury species, which includes canned tuna, halibut, mackerel, orange roughy, sea bass, sharks, swordfish, tuna steaks, freshwater bass, freshwater perch, haddock, and snapper. So how does mercury get into the fish? Most mercury pollution is released into the air by the burning of fossil fuels and municipal or medical waste. The mercury in the air then falls directly into water bodies or on land where it can be washed into waterways. When freshwater and ocean fish eat those organisms, the mercury begins to build up in their bodies. And when larger fish eat smaller fish, mercury levels can really be ramped up in the big fish. Mercury cannot be removed by cooking or cleaning the fish. Once the mercury gets into the marine food chain, it bioaccumulates in the larger predators. That's why larger fish are generally riskier to eat than smaller ones. Symptoms of eating too much mercury include reproductive troubles and nervous system disorders. Human fetuses exposed to mercury before birth may be at an increased risk of poor performance on neurobehavioral tasks, such as fine motor function, language skills, visual spatial abilities, and verbal memory. Children should also avoid fish with mercury because mercury can interfere with the way nerve cells move into position as the brain develops. So mercury is definitely something pregnant women and children want to completely avoid. The last thing I want to address is farm fishing. Farm fishing may seem like a good idea, but a recent study warned women, children, and adolescents against eating farmed salmon because the salmon feed that they give fish contains harmful pollutants. I will post a link to that study. Studies have shown that farmed fish are fed GMO corn and soy. That is the last thing you want. You are what your farmed fish eats. Just like factory farming, farmed fish are overcrowded and they are given antibiotics just like chickens on factory farms and cows. Farmed fish is not healthier and even hurts the environment. Offshore aquaculture, even when well-engineered, runs the risk of fish escapement, which can spread disease into natural ecosystems. Also, about one-fifth of the world's valuable mangrove forests, which are trees that live along tropical coastlines, have been destroyed thanks to fish farming in Asia, especially in the Philippines. So, the next time you're thinking about eating fish, please consider all this information. Overfishing is a crisis that affects us all, and the illegal fishing crisis is as close as your table. That's it. Thank you so much for joining me today, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and if you get a minute, please rate and review so more people can learn the health benefits of a plant-based diet. You can find all my recipes and podcasts on ordinaryvegan.net. Please join our Facebook community on facebook.com/ordinaryvegan so you don't miss any of my Facebook Live cooking shows. And we are now, I think we're 317,000 strong. It's a great community and they're ready to embrace you. So come on over. Thank you again for all your support. My number one goal is to help you live a long and healthy life. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.